Hey everybody, welcome to the MicroEffect Broadcasting Network. I am your host, Tony Pentel-Rusco, and I'm going to forgo reading the script. We were recording the show tonight, and we got hit. My settings on Skype were completely taken out while I was doing the show. Couldn't believe it. Anyway, we're talking about all kinds of things tonight, so I'm going to go over it tonight a little bit, what we're talking about. In regard to, the first part of the show, we got into talking about some of the things that make you go, and make you wonder what's going on. And then we, again, we're looking at how we should maybe look at what's happening to us today in regard to, in regard to some of the things that we need to look at today in regard to nano, in regard to everything, and everything that we are dealing with today. Things ain't what they appear. I'm going to read a couple of reports and researches in regarding to some of the things going on. Again, it's one of those things that we need to look at. I'm trying to find something right now as well, so you can bear with me. In regard to what's happening, in regard to me doing a seminar of some kind there. I'm going to be out west doing stuff. Oh, geez, here we go again. You know what? I'm going to start this over because it's not working right. It never fails when we're doing stuff. Needs to be done. I'm going to pause it. Okay, I finally found it. I have to pause it for a second. Hopefully it won't show up too bad in the recording here. I'm going to be, November 19th, I'm going to be in Merritt, British Columbia. I'm going to be doing a little bit of a talk there. A seminar or orientation or orienting on health. So the time is going to be 1 o'clock at the Royal Canadian Legion in Merritt. November 19, 2017, 1 p.m. And to get a hold of or to come down, if you're interested in coming down, contact Terry Wilson at 250 of, again, you're going to have to find the area code out there. She didn't put that in there. But anyway, 250-9831. That's the phone number out in BC. So find the BC Exchange. I didn't have that. But again, check her out. Contact Terry Wilson. Again, it's going to be next week at the Royal Canadian Legion in Merritt, BC. So again, 1 o'clock, and we're going to be talking about all kinds of issues, health issues in regard to chronic diseases, autoimmune disorders, nano, chemtrails, fibromyalgia, autoimmune disorders, and a whole host of, moods and whatnot, and some of the root causes, some of these moods, which may not be what you think today. Things have changed. So again, be prepared for those changes. We're in dire times today, and as a result of what we're exposed to, I'm going to talk about in regard to how our skin becomes infected. Now, this is the research that they're doing at Johns Hopkins. Now, when you look at this, it was published online at Cell, Host, and Microbe. When you look at this, you got to see and you got to understand the nature of what they're doing here. They're dancing around the truth. They're dancing around what's going on. Those of you who have the nano poisoning, those of you who have the misnamed term, more gallons, okay, you're going to see how this becomes active and what it does. They give you a pretty good explanation of what actually happens, but they're not giving you the real cause or reasons. I mean, we all know right now that air pollution is the number one problem on the planet. It's even causing osteoporosis right now, because the metals you're absorbing, the nanoparticles that you're absorbing, are displacing the minerals in your body. And as a result, your body are now using these metals, which is causing you to have a compromised infrastructure going on inside your body. If your body doesn't get the minerals it's supposed to get, it will use the metals that are there, which will now cause anomalies to occur in your genetic code. Anomalies will occur in your DNA. Anomalies will occur in your immune response. Anomalies will occur in the way you think, your brain chemistry, your endocrine system, respiratory system, digestive system are all impacted by these metals. You've been consuming smart dust, and I've said this for many years, if it's for at least 30 years. And today I'm going to explain, it's going to be shown what's actually being done. And you have to understand, a lot of this research that we're talking today has been going on for quite some time. We are now getting the information on it, which usually takes 20 years to accumulate. Today's times will take you probably less than 3 months with AI simulations and activations just through using an AI construct to be able to do things. But right now, how the skin becomes inflamed, toxin-producing bacteria. Doesn't that sound intriguing? Toxin-producing bacteria. Let me explain what that is in a moment. Toxin-producing bacteria on the surface of our skin induces a protein that causes our own cells to react and cause inflammation. However, when that barrier is broken, the increased exposure to certain bacteria really causes problems. And so now they're tying it to Staphylococcus and S. aureus, as an important human pathogen and the most common cause of skin infections in people. Now this is where my bullshit button is broken. I don't have it anymore, lost it, I gave it away, whatever. And so now I can speak more clearly, freely, because this is basically bullshit. Now let me explain what's going on. Let's call this what it is, shall we? Biofilm. As a result of an overloaded exposure to particulates and pollutants from all endeavors which overload the skin, which then cause an immune response to increase more bacterium. That's what happens. When we get exposed to anything internal or external, we produce a bacteria which now attacks what's going on to either break it down or to entrap it. That's what normally happens. Okay. Increase more bacterium to the area due to the particulates or synthetic materials we are exposed to. Increases the bacterial production to remove the invading element or seal it. When it's sealed, in any other biofilm can further attach even that from airborne particles, which may also have a biofilm. You gotta remember, we got bacteria that has gone from land to the air. We've done shows where we've talked about it has now transferred. So that bacterium now is transferring in the air and attaching itself to us, which is reacting with our biofilm. So it's not just the S. aureus that they're talking about. Okay, there's a lot of other things. And then what happens with biofilm will have a series of strands that will come and attach themselves or attack. The stronger bacterium will kill the weaker bacterium using the protein as a bonding agent to be able to seal off or to collect this material. Those of you who have nano poisoning and have pulled out nanoparticles from your skin, wires, fibers, antennas, chips, dots, bots, origamis, lattices, all kinds of different things that you've pulled out of your skin, you have seen firsthand these wires which will have this film wrapped around it. You'll have seen broken crystalline material that's dried up. That's dead biofilm. Okay, then it would have interacted with either the silica or the carbon, which would have caused it to break down. All right, let me continue. Miller says that 20 to 30% of the U.S. population has S. aureus living on their skin or in their nose, and over time, up to 85% of people come in contact with it. Now, how is that possible? Think about that for 1 minute. How is 85% of the general population coming up with this overload? What is causing this overload? See, this is where this report is really weak. Yeah, you're getting a bacterial infection. Whoopee, what's the cause? You ever notice that they don't give you the cause? They're giving you the effect of whatever's going on, but never the cause. And this is something that you've got to start paying attention. Don't just read this thing blindly and allowing it to lead you down the rabbit hole. Ask that question. Okay, 85% of us will eventually get this. Why? Well, it's coming on the skin and the nose. Then we know it's airborne. That's the clue right there. 90% of patients with eczema have exceedingly high numbers of S. aureus bacteria under inflamed skin. Now, this is what the medical people are saying here. We don't really know what causes atopic dermatitis, and there aren't many good treatments for it. Holy jumping. And they're treating you with stuff, and they don't know what it is that causes it, and they don't have really anything good to give you. Are you still putting your hope in this? Now, let me read something here. Again, these are some of the comments that I put on here, so that when I put the report on, you'll see them. Okay. This, again, is based on the article about 85%. This is, again, based on before nano or BN and after nano, AN. When the gloves are off and the pathologies integrate with nanoparticulates would have mutated, including the nanoparticles. Understatement of the century, do not know and have no clue what to do. This is not unusual for the medical staff. We don't have any answers on what, how to treat this, but we know what it is. Does that make sense? To know what something is and not know how to treat it or how to eliminate it? Makes me wonder. Okay, now, they soaked a small gauze pad with S. aureus and applied it to the back skin of normal mice and those that had been genetically engineered to lack the receptor for the IL-36 gene that triggers an inflammatory response. Millerstein found that the normal mice developed scaly and inflamed skin, which they should have, because that's a sign that the immune system is functioning correctly and is now dealing with the issue. And the genetically engineered mice lacking the IL-36 gene activity had almost no skin inflammation. Now, let me read my comment. This is where my bullshit button is damaged, and I cannot handle bullshit. This is a description of nano poisoning or induced toxicology from the atmosphere and environmental particulates, which is embedded in the skin and then increases the biofilm protein material, which then causes a mutation. Now, to further add insult to the injury here, how many of you seen the commercials at advertising between the stock market or some other TV show, and you see a person with all this damaged skin, and they got, oh, they're looking horrific and blah, and then they give them this cream, and then in a short period of time the cream has cleared up the lesions. Wonderful, because what did they do? They gave them a cream that shuts down the gene that would activate the immune response that would fight what's going on. And then you read the side effects. Can cause liver failure, can cause kidney failure, can cause spleen failure, can cause heart failure, can cause death. Now you got to ask yourself this question. Why would that do that? Why is that drug going to cause those kind of problems? Because when you shut down the genetic code to activate the immune response required to keep this in check, it is no longer being kept in check. It is now proliferating and propagating inside your body. And now it's causing more damage and more excess stress on your immune system and on those organs. The more you load up, the more your body has to work at getting that out. And the more, the harder it has to work, the faster you burn out. And the faster you burn out is because you're accelerating the wear and tear on your organs. See the psychology here. Shut down your body's functionality in regarding to protect yourself and to create the defense mechanism required to protect your body. And you wind up causing an overloading on the system. By suppressing an immune response, by suppressing a genetic response or DNA response, you then allow more of whatever is coming in to take over, causing more excessive damage, causing more problems, and as a result, irreparable genetic code, irreparable DNA, irreparable organs, and you burn out. That's basically what happens. So again, this was their solution. By shutting down the gene, which is what they're giving you now, these creams to shut down those genes, you are now overloading. Now, on my website, augmentinforce.com, there is a link there called Recipe for YouTube. It's in the directory of content on the left side in the first column. When you go there, you may find inside, once you click on that link, something called Nano Solutions. You may want to start using those protocols instead of using their drugs. The stuff I'm going to give you is not going to turn off your genetic code, but it's going to work with your immune system to flush out the buildup that is there. And you might want to also look at the Nano Bucket, and you might want to go on my YouTube, youtube.com, and type in Herbs Plus Beadworks, and look at the Nano Triangle, look at the Nano Bucket, look at the salt and vinegar solution that we've given you, look at the copper videos that we've shown you. These are going to go a long way in helping your system overcome this immune assault on your skin as a result of the chemtrails exposure, the ultrafine particles or the nanoparticles are being released in the atmosphere. It is going to create a huge, huge difference in reducing the load. This is going to be going on continuously until we either develop an immune response that makes us completely resistant to the exposure of these nanoparticles, quantum dots, the fullerenes, and so forth, or till the assault on mankind stops. See, the assault on mankind quits. To the assault from artificial intelligence attacking mankind with this technology to alter the genetic code, till that stops, we will have to come up with ways and means to turn off this technology, to flush it out of the body, and to restore what was damaged. So again, and it can be done. It is a lot of work. I'm not going to, BS you on how easy this is going to be. There ain't no quick fix. None. You have been dealing with nano poisoning since 1960. This has been an accumulation for almost 60 years. And in this accumulation, it has caused all kinds of autoimmune disorders, all kinds of system breakdowns, all kinds of skeletal weaknesses, all kinds of immune malfunctioning going on as a result of the exposure to this. Young people today, the millennials today, will be dead in a very short period of time tomorrow. I've stated unequivocally that those who are 15 years old will probably not see 30. And those who are 30 are not going to see my age. The new old age will probably be 40, 45, if that. There is no way mankind can survive this kind of onslaught at an extended period of time. It definitely will have an impact on the general population of the planet, whether it be human or mankind, because they are both two different things. And you have to understand that mankind reflects the creation of God, and humankind reflects the creation of the Matrix. Two entirely different things. And we start looking at those things from that perspective. That's when we start seeing the truth. We have been assimilated to buy into a belief system that has no foundation. None. Okay. All the things that are out there about humanity is a lot of hocus pocus. Human, the term again means beast. Person means monster. That's what the actual terms mean in legalese. So if you go into a court of law and call yourself a human being, you have lost before you got through the door, because laws were made for men and women, not human. And that's the distinction. And this is something for some of you is going to get, you have to wrap around your head. But once you see it, once you research it, investigate it, it's going to be crystal clear, the distinction between human and mankind. And this is one of the reasons why there's been so much strife with mankind, because he's interacted with humans. You can't have man and beast interacting. Two different standards, two different access points. And that's the difference. That's the difference. That's why I think there's been so much problems in the long term with relationships with men and women, or if they are human or feminist. Feminists are not women. Feminists are feminists. Women are women, and they are under two totally different laws. One is under the Matrix, and one is under God's creation or God's laws. Two different things. And when you see that, and you understand that language and understand that jargon, you're going to come to a realization how they have demeaned everybody with the thinking that you're human. Okay, how many of you watched the videos with Sophia, the new android, or the synthetic programming, this mockery of humanity? Because that's what she's mocking, humanity, the beast. She comes right out after being awarded a citizenship in the Middle East, a woman like or a female like structure being built with basically algorithms and databases, has now a citizenship in the Middle East. A mechanization has now acquired a citizenship. This is the most ridiculous thing ever, to give a machine status with humans. And she comes out and quotes and says, humans can be trained. Humans can be trained. Wow. That means programming. That's what it means. Humans can be programmed. That's what she's saying. Or beast can be trained. You can train a horse to do certain things. You can train a dog to do certain things. A cat, a monkey, orcas, dolphins. These would be considered beasts in Old English. Not that it means it's nothing bad about that. It's just how they were entitled. And she is stating that humans, which is equivalent to beast, can be trained. You might want to go take a look at this. You might want to see their inference to this. Biblically, it says in the last days, men and women are going to have unnatural relationships with unnatural things. They're already talking about having sex with these bots. Imagine that.
Yeah.
What a repulsive idea. When we're talking today, men and women treat each other with a different tone than humans do. And that's the way it should be. So again, I'm pointing this out to you. Now, I'm going to carry on with this. I have to throw that in there because, again, it's what it is. You have to be aware on all these different fronts. I'm going to talk about those that have been in the military. Those of you who have come out, I heard this week that a friend of mine was telling me that he was listening to a Polish video, a Polish news in Poland, how the soldiers coming out of the military are now suffering high levels of depression, and they're tying it to the vaccines that these guys got. Now, I don't know about all the other militaries across the planet, but I do know about the U.S. military because I got friends of mine who served in the U.S. military, and I would probably say the same would be true in Canada. Again, I don't know for sure about Canada, but in the U.S., I've talked to guys who served in the military, tell me that when you go into the military, you go down the line, you got 10 guys on each side giving you injections for everything under the sun. So after you get done, you're probably sick for a couple of days and some become completely incapacitated. But when they get out of service, those chemicals, those nanoparticles, or that genetic material, the genetic biology, is still in these men and women who've gone off in order to, in their beliefs, to serve their country and their country's needs. And what winds up happening is they've now become, again, contaminated with a nanogenetic interface in their bodies. And when they come out, those metals, the biochemicals in the brain, the genetic code, the DNA, is now being irreversibly damaged as a result of what has been injected into these men and women. So when they come out, they are suffering all kinds of things. Now, for those of you who have come out of the military, and for those of you who know people who've come out of the military, this is for you. You are hearing voices being transmitted inside of you, which is not coming from you. You're feeling whatever guilt, whatever remorse, whatever entanglement you had. And the voices may be telling you, because of guilt and depression, that you should turf yourself and your body. You can, look what you've done. Okay. This is not coming from you. This is coming from a transmitter, from an artificial intelligence, from a military intelligence. It's all coming from somewhere else, and it's being transmitted into you through the technology they injected inside of you. How many of you in the military went and got your teeth done in the military? How many of you are aware that they can put transmitters inside of your teeth, activating frequency which can cause more damage to your jaw, more damage to your brain, more damage to your thyroid? How many of you are aware of that? How many of you are aware of the fact they might have put these in there to identify you just in case something happened to you? Did they ever take this technology out of your body when you finished your service or your tour of duty in the military? Question you should ask. All right, now I'm going to talk about these nano antenna. Researchers developed an all-silicon nano-antenna to trap individual quantum dots. Okay, quantum dots can be now purchased with a variety of compositions, structures, and configurations. Some are available suspended in biological-friendly fluid, making them well-poised to serve as a biomarker for single-molecule tagging and tracking. Well-poised to serve as a biomarker for single molecule tagging and tracking. Quantum dots are tracking devices. They go through the body and monitor your system. How many of you feel that creepy, crawly, itchy feeling on the bottom of your feet or the palms of your hand or through your body? That's the quantum dots moving through you. Harnessing the nano tractor beam like abilities of optical tweezers, researchers now at the University of Melbourne, Australia, and Huozhong University, Science and Technology of China, developed an all-silica nano-antenna to trap individual quantum dots suspended in microfluidic chambers, okay? Because they said it can suspend itself in friendly fluids. Now, silica antenna, which can be grown in any form, in any environment, can be accumulated through dietary substances, breads, and grains and cereals and anything else that may have had a simple diatomaceous earth sprayed on the vegetation matter, which is used as an insecticide and saturates to the DNA of the plant. Once it's in the DNA of the plant, you consume it, that silica now gets inside of you. They tell you the diatomaceous earth is not broken down or absorbed by the body. That's a lot of horse hockey. That's a nanosilica component which can now translocate and perforate and permeate through the intestinal tract. As it does, as it then translocates into the cells, which then assembles into the cells themselves and then shuts down cellular communication, further causing genetic damage. It can attach itself to the skeletal structure, further weakening the very foundation of your skeleton. It's highly conductive. It's used as a transmitter, a receiver, or a transceiver. They're using that to be able to focus this on quantum dots inside your body, because quantum dots are also transceivers. The trapping of very small objects is rendered difficult. However, due to the fact that the trapping's force varies approximately with the particle volume, and that's how they're creating the antenna, to meet specific particle volume, like a magnet with you got a bunch of iron dust particles, and you run a magnet through it, and it'll pick up whatever it can pick up based on the Gauss strength of the magnet. Well, this does the same thing. You also have these antenna being manufactured inside of your body. There's other research that will indicate this if you start looking at nano. Okay. Trapping such small objects in biological useful construct is made even more difficult in the potentially destructive thermal effects of using metallic antennas to focus the trappings in the fields. Here we demonstrate the trapping of a small object, namely a quantum dot, used in a all silica nano antenna. We're literally able to see single quantum dots trapped by our nano antenna and capture movies showing their motion. The new nano antennas, which consist of a silicon ring surrounding a pair of silicon cylinders, are made by an electron beam lithography and reactive ion etching. This is basically your 3D printer. The structure concentrates infrared light used to trap the quantum dots into small 50 nanometer gaps between the cylinders. Infrared light is sometimes used in some therapies, and some people do see relief dealing with nano poisoning, because infrared is trapping these quantum dots, and with the heat can actually help expel them out of the body. It doesn't always work. It works for a lot, but doesn't fix the problem. And these are my comments now again, okay? Are we paying attention to this here? Quantum dot is a silicon antenna encased in a fluid. When we're saying that they're literally watching movies of these quantum dots with the nano antenna, that's basically called monitoring. Okay, that's what they're doing. And now, if they can do this way, why do you think 5G is being integrated? Without any testing, running it through. Why do you think that is? Why do you think they're putting it out? Because they want to give you better service? You think because they want to give you a better cell phone service or better connection with the internet, better connection with your iPads? This is so they can monitor these quantum dots that are already inside of you. Because your DNA puts out a certain residual frequency that identifies you to a T. Very easy to pick you up, because this thing is transmitting with your DNA. Okay, again, monitoring people with this technology. The infrared, as I stated, is about, again, because of the way it traps the particles. Again, when you're hitting yourself with infrared, you may find more release of the particulate that may be built up. And again, it will all depend on how saturated you are and how much is at the surface of the skin, which will let go and release. We use low concentration of particles because we wanted to make sure they were dealing with single quantum dots. Okay, this is basically repeating what they said before. So again, those of you who are in the military, those of you who've been affronted with nanobiology, those of you who are nanotechnology, those of you who've been targeted, this is why you're feeling what you're feeling. This is why you're thinking what you're thinking at times. This is why you're always feeling, because of the chemical reactions and the chemical activity that these things are altering. They're altering the way you think, they're altering the way you feel, they're altering the way you are, period. Alrighty, so we got two of those. Now let me read this about quantum dots. Quantum dot-induced epigenetic and genotoxic changes in human breast cancers. This is just one test done on one part of the body. Let me go on in 1 second. The staggering array of nanotechnological products found in our environment and those applicable in medicine has stimulated a growing interest in the examining of their long-term impact on genetic and epigenetic processes. We examine here the epigenetic, genomic, and genotoxic response to cadmium telluride quantum dots in human breast carcinoma cells. Quantum dot treatments induce global hyperacetylation, implying a global epigenomic response. Global epigenomic response. That's the whole body, or the whole area, the whole section. The ubiquitous responder to genotoxic stress, P53, was activated by quantum dot challenging, resulting in translocation of P53 with subsequent upregulation and downstream target Pumanoxa. In other words, it triggered a cancer. Simple as English. Suggesting that P53 translocation contributes to quantum dot induced cytotoxicity. Now, this is an interesting point here that they make after this. Epigenetic changes may have long-term effects on gene expression, programming long-term after the initial signal has been removed. If these changes remain undetected, it could lead to long-term untoward effects in biological systems. This has been going on for a long, long time. I have talked to people who have been exposed to this nanotechnology, nanobiology, for over 30 years. The young people today will not have a hope in blazes. Their food is saturated with these quantum dots, these nanobots, these origami, buckyballs, chips, fullerenes. What's coming out of people and things that people are telling me, what's coming out of me that I see under a scope, again, will amaze you how the activation through frequencies is causing these anomalies to occur. And this is one of the things about nanotechnology that we have all been exposed to. I'm going to give you another biggie here as far as exposure to sensors, smart dust. Okay, this is now, and I'm going to provoke some questions here for all of you in regard to this. Okay, it may soon be able to send out an SOS. Your plants may soon be able to send out an SOS. Have created sensors that can be printed onto plant leaves, and reveal when the plants are experiencing a water shortage. You can put sensors into the soil, or you can do satellite imaging and mapping, but you never really know what a particular plant is detecting as the water potential. Now, this is getting embedded into the very core of the plant. You're not going to be able to wash this off. Some doctor guru has been telling you that you can wash your vegetables and take out the pesticides with baking soda. I would have to say this particular person is FOS. You cannot take this stuff off with baking soda. You can't take it off with battery acid. You can't even take it off with hydrochloric acid. Nanoparticles, quantum dots, fullerenes, carbon fullerenes are all in the food supply today. Doesn't matter what you eat, doesn't matter what style you're eating. These sensors that are using are also built with silica and other materials that you cannot break down in the body. You cannot break down any form of silica supplement in the market today, bar none. You cannot break them down. You do not have what's required to digest these the silica supplements in today's market. They can add a little silic acid, they can add a little phosphorus to transfer it into the cell, but you cannot absorb it or break it down. And once you put silica into the cell, it then activates and grows and assembles just like a nano without the need of frequencies, because your electrical impulses in your body is charging up this material to build and regulate. All you got to do to see what I'm talking about is go buy a silica kit to grow silica crystals and see what's required. Certain amount of heat, certain amount of temperature, and a certain amount of energy, and you have a crystal forming. You're the perfect conduit for crystal formation inside and outside your body. The new MIT sensor takes advantage of the plant's stomata, a small pore in the surface of a leaf that allow water to evaporate. As water evaporates from the leaf, water pressure in the plant falls, allowing it to draw water up from the soil through a process called transpiration. Plant biologists know the stomata open when closed to light and open when exposed to light and closed in darkness. But the dynamics of the opening and closing have been little studied because there hasn't been a good way to directly measure them in real time. So now you're talking about the porosity of a plant. We're talking micron level at the minimal. Nano level, more than likely. And we're not talking one or two sensors. We're talking a collection of sensors that can, again, transceive and transmit whatever information and data that's required. Now, the question I got to ask everybody, okay, is what happens when you eat this? What happens when your animals eat this? What happens when the wildlife eats this? Let me go on before we get into that. People already knew that the stomata respond to light, to carbon dioxide concentration, to drought, but now we have been able to monitor it continuously. MIT researchers used an ink made of carbon nanotubes. Now let me explain to you what about carbon nanotubes. Carbon nanotubes are 3 times stronger than diamond, 100 times stronger than steel. And we're putting in a carbon nanotube, which means it's on a billionth scale. That billionth scale is allowing it to penetrate and perforate into the pores of the plant. And we're not talking one carbon nanotube. If you hear what I'm saying here, ink made of carbon nanotubes, plural. Tiny hollow tubes, plural, of carbon that conduct electricity. This is what powers the nanoconstructs in our bodies, the same technology they're putting into these plants. Dissolved in an organic compound called sodium dodecyl sulfite, which does not damage the plant. Basically, a combination of acetic acid and sulfur. This ink can be printed across the pore to create an electronic circuit. Now, are you paying attention here? The ink can be printed across a pore to create an electronic circuit. There is no way baking soda is going to wash that off. It has now become completely integrated with the plant. Organic or not. The circuit is intact and the current can be measured by the connecting the circuit to a device called a multimeter. Now, let's get back to the million-dollar question you have to ask. If the circuitry is in the plant and it's activating sensors to indicate information of the plant, what happens when you consume grams or kilograms of these sensors in the digestive system? Since you've already been doing that anyway with Smart Dust. Since the carbon nanotubes are 3 times harder than diamond, what transpires with this technology and its activities? What actually is it doing in the gut microbiome? Okay, or microbiome. Since this would work with the soil's bacteria as well, and if the activation of this tech stays active, what does that actually mean to our DNA and our immune system? I'm getting you to think. This is being mass produced in the food supply today, whether it's organic or not. This tech is going right across the board. They would put this type of technology in even in the storage silo so they could see when the food that's being stored is on its way to being spoiled, which would minimize spoilage or minimize it going bad in the silo. But nonetheless, you still have that tech operating. What's that doing? What is that doing? That's what I'm trying to get across to you. You know, this is how you have to read this research. Don't read it with the sense that you are being entertained. Get over that. Read this with critical thinking. Ask those kind of questions. You need to ask those kind of questions, because if you don't ask those kind of questions, again, you're going to wind up getting into a state of assumption or presumption, and you're going to wind up with some health issues that your doctors they don't even know how to treat atopic dermatitis. They don't even know what the cause is, according to them. If you can believe that nonsense. And I'm going to tell you something else about the future of this technology. If there is any real benefit to it, you as a common consumer or as a common laborer or as a poor person will never see the light of day unless they're going to use it to experiment on you and try something completely different, which then may further cause more damage to you than ever before. And now you have to deal with the nanobiological reaction that this is causing in your system. Did it attach itself to your DNA? Did it attach itself to the double helix? Did it reprogram your genetic code? Did it shut down an immune system, an immune response? Did it overactivate another one? Did it hyperaccelerate your thyroid? Did it decelerate your thyroid? Did it cause a hormonal imbalance in the body? Did it shut off the hormones to be able to produce? Did it overaccelerate the production of these things? Did it break down your skeletal structure? Did it cause calcium deposits to occur in the body? These are things that make things go bump in the night. This technology has never been tested. It's the same guy that's running the FTC in the United States that doesn't want to test the 5G. He just wants to throw it out there without any study. This is what they've done here. And as a result, now we have an integration of biology with technology, which is one is trying to remove and the other one is trying to attach. Constant battle. You know, these guys that are talking the nonsense they're talking today, they're either, you know, living in a cave and not seeing the fruition of what's going on, or they're just further causing you problems in regard to causing you problems with your health, causing more compromise. And again, pay attention to this. You know, when people are saying stuff like that, and you're hearing people like me talking about nanobiology, nanotechnology, when you're hearing people talking about, you know, genetics and transgenics and epigenetics, you can't wash a genetic code off of a plant. I'm sorry, whoever's telling you that is FOS. How can you have an organic crop growing anywhere in North America or anywhere in the world if you've got people spraying genetic material on another crop? It's going to get in the water table, your sparrows, your bees, your wasps, your rabbits, your rats, your squirrels, your birds, your deer, dogs, cats, birds are going to translocate that genetic just by eating and defecating in somebody else's field. The wind, the rain, tsunamis, whatever, will blow that stuff all over the place. David Suzuki, before he went rogue back in the mid-1980s when he was standing up for whatever he was standing up for, made a comment based on research at the time that genetically modified seeds, genetically engineered seeds, the pollen transfers itself a mile and a half an hour every day. And we're not talking one direction, we're talking multiple directions. North, south, east, west, northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest. Every direction. Think how long that's been going on. Add atrazine and glyphosate to the equation. Glyphosate takes 7 years to break down the soil, and they keep on spraying it over and over and over and over. It is layered, literally layered. How long do you think it's going to take before the soil becomes back to normal? Now let's add some nanosensors to the equation. Sensors that don't get turned off. Sensors that get accumulated in the food supply. The sensors that are now being, again, put into the system. Metallic material that is so small that it is in high concentrations. Imagine you're eating a salad. Imagine the lettuce that you're eating has, say, who knows, 1,000 particles in one cell. Imagine the carrot you're eating might have another 1,000 particles in one cell. Because that's how small they are. Imagine the celery they're treating has 1,000 particles. A potato. And you're a vegetarian and you're eating all this material that has all these sensors inside the food. What happens when it mixes with the carbon that you are consuming? Since they did use a carbon nanotube. And nanotechnology likes carbon. It uses that as an assembling material. What happens to you? You know, something to think about. Can't wash it out. Can't strip it out. You can juice and filter the juice to collect the nano. That you can do. Think about that. Think about it. This also goes for the meat eaters as well. This also goes for the dairy consumers. I'm a meat eater. I'm a dairy consumer. I eat lots of fat. And I know full well that I've got this stuff in the food supply. I don't, you know, there's no dancing around it. I look at neutrality right off the bat. I put things with it so that it's going to collect it and help remove it from my system through either defecation, urination, sweat, or however I can get it out through baths. So I'm always looking at ways to neutralize what I'm consuming because of this technology and because of my awareness of this. And I'm trying to make you aware of it as well so that you are now able to do the same thing to defend yourself. All the nonsense that they put out there about food, and you know, one's a vegan, one's a vegetarian, one's a meat eater, one's a raw foodist, one's this, one's that. All horse hockey, all of it. You eat a balanced diet, whether you eat a little protein, animal protein, whether you eat vegetables, whether you eat a carbohydrate, whether you eat nuts or seeds, it's all about balance. There's no evil to eating meat. You're not going to lower your vibrational frequency. That's a lot of nonsense. If think about it, if a cow is eating grass and grasses will elevate your frequency, then the cow's frequency is off the map. You should be eating tons of cow. If that's how you want to think, but that's just as ridiculous. You eat because you need to eat for nutritional value and for strength and for health. But when the very core of your food supply, doesn't matter what it is being hijacked and sabotaged with technology that doesn't become deactivated and stays active in your system and starts to assemble in your body, it doesn't matter what you're eating. It's a violation. And that's where everybody's got to start waking up on this and start acting accordingly. You can't live just on vegetables. That's a lot of nonsense. You can't live on just nuts either. That's nonsense. You can't live on just meat. That's nonsense. You can't live on just dairy products either. That's nonsense. In order to have a complete diet with dairy, you have to have a potato with it. That gives you a complete diet. If you want to have a complete diet with eggs, you have to have a potato with it. Again, another carbohydrate. That's a complete diet. Okay, when you're talking veganism and they're telling you to eat rice and bean to get a complete protein, that is not a complete diet. That's just that's basically whatever the beans lack as far as amino acid profiles, the rice supplies and vice versa. But that doesn't make it a complete diet. Okay, it just is fulfilling the protein requirements, and even those proteins in that form are very poorly absorbed because of the phytate content to it. Now, when you're talking phytate, this is a type of phosphorus, and when you're looking at those specific foods, they would have a higher concentration of glyphosate sprayed on them, further depleting your body of minerals. The beans will do that anyway, and so will the rice. So again, you know, what is everybody telling people? Yeah, I mean, I tell people not to eat the rice anyway, or any grain, because I know what's in these grains, and I know about the nano, and I've known about it for quite some time, and know about the delivery methods. So again, you know, use your head. Don't listen to anybody talking about some universal consciousness, and oh, the universe, oh, and all that bullshit. It's all bullshit. If someone's going to tell you that it's a frequency or an energy, whatever, from a food supply, and they're taking away a protein and incorporating more sugar, that's a biological response. That's a chemical reaction. That's a sugar stimulating an insulin response to absorb the protein or derive the protein more. But you're not going to get the full value of the protein if you don't get enough protein per serving, especially if you're training. And you can do the experiment yourself. You train and you take low amounts of protein and high amounts of sugar to spike the insulin to get that protein up. You're going to be hungry very shortly. And if you keep eating all the time, you wear out your insides. And also at the same token, you're adding more of this biotechnology in your body. The old adage is, the less you eat, the longer you live. And it's also what you eat is going to promote how you live. So again, I'm pointing these things out to you so that you are awake and aware and not convinced or cajoled into believing bullshit. It's all about balance. Even the East Indians who I've talked to are vegetarian, do not eat red meat. This is true. But they do eat fish. They do eat chicken. They do eat eggs. And some of them do eat lamb. And they say that you have to have a balance, which I agree. The Mediterranean diet is supposedly the best diet in the world, yet why are not everybody eating that way if it's the best diet? So again, I'm not saying it's because I'm Mediterranean, I'm just making a point. I don't eat a full Mediterranean diet all the time either. But I will use some of the benefits of the Mediterranean diet. I mean, there's a lot of good things in it. There's some things not so good. So again, you know, like the grains and the breads and the pastas and then the sugars. So again, you know, think. Your body is a construct of multiple chemistry. It needs proteins, it needs animal fats, it needs animal proteins, it needs B12, which you cannot get from any plant-based diet. Spirulina doesn't give you the B12 that's absorbed by the body at all. And the proteins that it's given you is so nominal, and it's an algae which depletes copper. This is why some of you don't have the brain functionality, because you need copper to grow new brain connections. It's imperative that you have copper to produce the proper immune response for it's a biocide, one of the best ones you could use. So again, you know, think in these terms. Don't allow yourself the comfort and to allow yourself to have somebody put you to sleep, especially when they're giving you a lot of bullshit information. Do your investigation. Do your research. Again, I just expressed to you and explained to you again how the sabotage is being done and how they're even putting sensors into the body. If they're still talking things like vinegar and soaps and everything to wash your vegetables, I will put the challenge to you. Very simply. Go and follow their procedure. Have a 60x scope or a microscope that you can put a sample underneath so you can see up close what doesn't come off. Wash them any way you like, with vinegar, hydrochloric acid, muriatic acid, you know, diluted, citric acid, ascorbic acid, malic acid, whatever acid you want to use. Okay, soap and water, I don't care what soap, laundry detergent. Dishwashing soap, use whatever. And then when you get done, let's say you're doing an apple. Let's say you're washing an apple. And you use all this stuff. I want you to take a knife afterwards. I want you to scrape the skin and see the wax come off. First, that's going to be an eye opener. Oh, it didn't touch the apple at all because we got this coat of wax. And then I want you to look under a scope. What is there? I want you to look at it, because I want you then to be able to see the baloney that you're being taught. Then you're going to know. Okay. Then you're going to know. Like I said, this ain't Kansas anymore. We ain't there anymore. We are in a whole new world system. And again, if you're not part of mankind, then you're not part of anything. You're a beast. And beasts are corralled. Talked about that in the last show, about the mark of the beast. And the Bible talking about the mark of the beast. Marking beast. Human, the term human is equivalent to beast. Keep that in mind. So what's it saying? There's going to be a time where the human race is going to be turned, marked on as a beast. Tagged like a beast. Is that what you want? You decide. So again, Start referring to yourselves as men and women, because they're going to try to take that from you, because as a man and a woman, you have rights, and those rights have to be upheld by any court of law. But if you are a human, you have no rights, because beasts do not have rights. When they pass a law that your dogs and cats have to be vaccinated, that's because your dogs and cats are beasts and have no rights. Now they're trying to turn you from a man and a woman to becoming a human, which then would indicate you have no rights. So again, keep that in mind. Keep in mind, again, you guys coming out of the military, keep in mind, those thoughts in your head are not your thoughts. Okay, those things you're hearing are not coming from you. They're being transmitted. Be aware of that. All right, before I go on, last thing, just before the show's over with, I want to again reiterate that I'm going to be, where am I going to be here? I'm going to be on November 19th, 2017, at 1 o'clock, the Royal Canadian Legion in Merritt, British Columbia. So if you have a chance to come out, come on out, tell your friends about it. You want to get a hold of Terry Wilson at 250-9831. I didn't catch that. So again, you may have to look up the area code to get a hold of her. Yeah, we're going to be talking about all kinds of things. Mood disorders, fibromyalgia, breathing, DNA, nano, you name it. It's going to be there. And we're going to hopefully try to get a live stream up if we can. Have somebody film it, live stream, so we can put it on a live stream program so that people can interact. So hopefully we can get that going. So anybody out there who knows anything about these things, are up on this, feel free to contact me, independz@yahoo.com, independz at yahoo.com. You got any pointers or any programs that you find are really good and easy to operate, anybody can do, give me a shout, we can go from there. I would appreciate any help or assistance in this matter. And again, go on my website, augmentinforce.com. There you'll find the catalog link. Feel free to access the whole site. Get the information. All of it. Download it. Share it. Turn people on to it. In the directory of content, you will see recipe for YouTube. There is a nano bucket. There is a nano solution for those of you who have been exposed to nano poisoning through whatever means you've been exposed. We have a catalog link. In there we have a nano bucket. We show you how to make them on the YouTube. Go to youtube.com, type in Herbs Plus Beat Work, and type in anti-nano bucket. We show you how to make it. We have an anti-nano triangle. We have the repulsor units. We have grounding straps. We also have old-fashioned recipes. We've got books on DVD. We have a flash drive, which is a library of information from homesteading, bushcraft, farming, to the YouTubes. We got 120 YouTubes on there. We also have on there as well the three books on there as well. We also have interviews and radio shows all in one. And if you buy the unit, you can share the information with your network. I do not oppose. So again, also I do consultations as well. Again, 519-977-5351 or independz@yahoo.com. Feel free to give me a call. Let me know your time zone. I do charge a flat rate, $35. Feel free to call me if you need help. If you don't need help, you can send me an email, say hello, how you doing? And I also advocate byebyebluesky.com with Susan Marv, Health-Access over in the United Kingdom. Again, these are people, activists. Susan Marv is an activist as well. Give her a hand, say hi. I always have to say, don't ask what your activists can do for you, but ask what you can do for your activists. Get involved. Make a change. Make a difference. Make a difference. All right. Till next week. Hopefully we can live stream it. If we can live stream it, we'll put it on a pod or we'll put it somewhere on the internet.